Good morning, Lord of the Harvest. Those here and those are online. Welcome, welcome. I'm going to read from 1 John chapter 3. Starting at the first verse. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Yes. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him, Jesus, purifies himself just as he is pure. Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness. And you know that he was manifested, to take away our sins. And in him there is no sin. Whoever abides in him does not sin. He has never seen him nor know him. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous. Just as he who sins is of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God does not sin. For his seed remains in him. And he cannot sin because he is born of God. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are made manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor he who does not love his brother. For this is the message I heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one, and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Do not marvel if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life, because we have loved the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has inherited eternal life abiding in him. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from his brother, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. By this we know we are of the truth. And shall assure in our hearts before him. For if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts and knows all things. But beloved, if our hearts does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. This is the commandment, that we should love on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us the commandment. Lord Jesus, we come before your throne this morning with grateful hearts that you have loved, you have bestowed your love upon us, that we may be called your children. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We invite you into this room. Come, Lord Jesus. We invite the Holy Spirit into this room. Come, Holy Spirit, be with us, that we may be worshiping, that our worship may be pleasing unto you, Lord God. And we thank you for who you are, and we thank you for your love that you bestowed on us. In Jesus' name, amen.
We have been discussing praying as a church, praying apostolically, and we're simply demonstrating that apostolic prayer is just like all the other different kinds of prayer. There are many kinds and types of prayers. Praying apostolically, how do we pray apostolically? Well, the scriptures are apostolic. Scriptures are prophetic. They're already those things. And one of the key ways to pray apostolically is to pray into the scripture. In fact, oftentimes we see apostolic prayers in scripture. And I want to go to Ephesians chapter 1, which is a tremendous example of an apostolic prayer, and it also flows with partaking the Lord's Supper. The reason we partake of the Lord's Supper is because what Paul declares and prays in Ephesians chapter 1 is true. And because it's true, we experience that in the Lord's Supper. This is why we partake of the Lord's Supper, but it also demonstrates an apostolic prayer for us. So Ephesians chapter 1. Now, oftentimes when we read this, we see the start of Paul's epistles. We call them the greetings. Well, they're greetings, but they're entrances into prayer. Paul is greeting the church in Ephesus, and he's praying for them. And then we often see the introductory passages in an epistle after the greeting as laying out the format of the rest of the epistle. They do that. What Paul prays or declares in Ephesians 1, 3 through 14 really sets the tone for the rest of the epistle. All the ideas that are included in those first verses, Paul develops them further as we go through the epistle. But at the same token, it's a prayer. Paul prays us in. He greets us by prayer, and he greets us and he prays for us as he greets us, and he leads us into a summary of what he's going to discuss to the Ephesians by praying that. Apostolic prayers can move from what we would call typical prayer style or format, or typical prayer language, into a declaration as well. And that's also true about apostolic prayers. As an apostle, Paul has this authority to be able to impart what he declares. He's doing what Jesus did, and that's what we've been developing the past few weeks. Jesus did what he saw the Father doing, and he spoke, he declared what he heard the Father saying. Paul's doing precisely the same thing. So we'll find out more as we continue to learn how to pray apostolically, as we're praying the scriptures when we pray apostolically, because the scripture already has that apostolic anointing, because it's an apostle teaching, declaring, praying, exhorting. It already has apostolic authority, so why invent apostolic prayers when you have an apostolic prayer in front of you? And that's the beauty of praying into Scripture, praying into apostolic prayer. So with that in mind, let's just briefly go through Ephesians chapter 1. verses 1 through 14. Paul begins like this: Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, he starts out with who he is in Christ to them, to the saints who are in Ephesus, even those who are the faithful in Jesus the Messiah. Now, in Christ, all through this prayer, he's gonna keep using this term, in Christ, or in Jesus, or in him, because he starts the apostolic declaration with reminding us that we are saints, and we are the ones who are faithful because God has placed us in Christ. To be in Christ means now that we are reconciled to God, Christ is in us and we are in him. And because we are reconciled to God and because we have built a relationship with Jesus, what is true for Jesus is true for us. His vindication, his righteousness, his holiness, his obedience, his truth, it's all true for us. And so Paul is going to, this initial declaration and prayer is going to be built on these first couple verses. And then he actually prays something, what we would understand and call prayer in terms of the style that many of us pray and many of us have been taught to pray. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. He's praying for God to release his grace, which is the source of our power, and God to release his peace, which is the source of our blessing. And then notice, he begins his apostolic declaration and prayer in verse 3 by blessing God. Yes. Now, I want you to, one of the things I'm going to point out here, verse 3 through 14, by the way, Ephesians 1, verses 3 through 14 is the longest sentence in the New Testament. It's a single sentence. If you were to diagram it, those of you who are as old as I am and remember diagramming sentences in school, it would be a single sentence. In the Greek, it's clear that it's a single sentence. English translates it like it's a number of sentences. But when you have continuous participles in a sentence, the sentence never ends until you get to the final participle and then you start another sentence with another subject and another verb. Well, that's the English teacher in me. I was an English teacher, for those of you who don't know that. But he begins this by blessing God. Now, I also want to show you that this prayer follows the Lord's Prayer. Remember what the Lord's Prayer is. Our Father in heaven, let your name be set apart as holy. That's why Paul starts, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes. It's blessing God. That's where the Lord's Prayer starts out. Our Father in heaven, and he's going to talk about heaven, let your name be set apart as holy. Hallowed be thy name. Let your kingdom come. And though he doesn't use the word kingdom, he's going to be talking about all the effects of the kingdom as he prays this, because we pray, let your kingdom come, let your will be done. Will be done is going to be in this, on earth as it is in heaven. He's going to talk about the church bearing witness on the earth because of their relationship to God in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, that nurture us, nurture and nourish us so that we might fulfill your purposes. Give us this day our daily bread. And you're going to see this prayer is best based on that pattern of the Lord's Prayer. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blessed us in every spiritual blessing, where? In the heavens. Our Father, who art in heaven, let your name be set apart as holy. But he adds this. He says, the one who blesses us with every spiritual blessing in the heavens in Christ. Now, those of you who are listening to my Wednesday class and we talk about the book of Revelation, and we talk about John getting caught up to heaven in Revelation 4 and 5. And my teaching is that we as believers in Christ, we need to go to heaven. We need to live in heaven. We need to see that heaven is the source of our life, our blessing, our purpose, the way we see things, our worldview. It's all about seeing things from heaven. And we're called to go to heaven. Paul will say this, we won't get to that part, but he talks about that we're seated in the heavenly places at the end of chapter 1 and the start of chapter 2. We need to understand that we live in the heavenly realms. There's this dichotomy in the book of Revelation, and there's the Lord, there's the Father, there's the Spirit, there's the heavenly throne. There's the elders who surround the throne. They're the living creatures, the cherubim in heaven. There's all these things going on in heaven. And then there's these things going on earth. The dragon, the beast, the false prophet, the harlot of Babylon. And all throughout the book, it talks about the things that happen to the people on the earth who dwell on the earth, not good. And the things that happen to the people who dwell in heaven, good. And that's that contrast. But notice, people say, well, Pastor Oz, how do you get to heaven? Well, what do you mean we got to go to heaven? Because at the end of this, he says, who blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms, in the heavenly places, in Christ. When you're in Christ, you're in heaven. When you're outside of Christ, you're not in heaven. How do I get to heaven? I remember that the source of my strength, the source of my blessing, the source of my perspective, the source of my obedience is the fact that I'm in Christ. Now, everybody who's been around me for a while here in this church know that I always say, picture a circle. And if you step inside that circle, you're in Christ. And picture what's outside the circle. If you step outside of that circle, you're outside of Christ. That's how you dwell in the heavens versus dwell on the earth. People who get their strength, their worldview, their philosophy of living, their blessing, their hopes, what they consider good from the things of the earth, are not living in the heavenly places. When we say, if only I had this job, if only I had this woman, if only I had this person in the presidency, if only I had this, that, and the other thing, and they're all things of the earth, if those are your source, that's living in the world. That's not living in heaven. That's living outside of Christ. But when I say, if only I had more of you, Jesus, if only I had more of your grace, Jesus. If only I had more of your Spirit, Lord. If only I had more of your healing. If only I had more of your word. If only I had more of your spiritual authority. Do you see the difference? And see, when our lives revolve around the fact, and I had to do inner healing on my grandson last night because the Lions lost. You know, I had to say, well, it was a good season, son. It was a fun season. But life moves on, and there are bigger things in life than a football game. And I said, so let's just trust Jesus. And then my grandson, who was like losing his salvation because the Lions lost, just said, amen, amen, Papa. And I said, okay, we got him back right on the track. But we do this all the time. If only I had this man, or if only I had this woman, I'd have everything I needed. That's dwelling on the earth. It's not that those things are wrong, but if those things become ultimate, you're not living in heaven. You're living on the earth. And when you're living in heaven, guess what? You're subject to his authority, and he's running the universe. But if only I had this thing on the earth, well, the dragon is running things on the earth, and nothing good's going to come out of that. So, how do you go to heaven? In Christ. Then he continues in verse 4, just as he chose us in him, again, in Christ. Watch, it's going to be in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. Just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. See, now we're talking about your kingdom come. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Having predestined us to sonship, to be adopted as sons through Jesus Christ, in Christ, through Christ, unto himself. See, this is, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But your will can be done on earth as it is in heaven because of what Jesus has done. He's loved us. He's redeemed us. He's forgiven us. He's healed us. He's given us authority to fulfill God's purposes. He's given us authority to obey Jesus. See, I want you to understand praying apostolically. There's nothing wrong with praying for individual needs, but praying apostolically is not praying for our individual needs. See, our individual needs, as important and as good and as necessary as they are, can seduce us and remove us from being in Christ. They can distract us. Even when those things are good things. Lord, I want to be reconciled to my children. And if only I were reconciled to my children, you're out of the circle. Do you understand? You're out of the circle. You have to get back in, because you know how you're going to be reconciled to your children? By being in Christ. Because God wants you to be reconciled to your children more than you do. It's so simple, but it's so tricky. It's so difficult. It's so easy to be distracted by the things of the world. Notice, this is apostolic prayer. It's declaring what Jesus has done for us. And it's asking for Jesus to do more of the same for us and in us and through us. It's apostolic prayer always keeps Jesus in the center, always keeps God in the center. It keeps our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It isn't even I need bread, it's you give me bread. If the focus is on him, because you're the source of bread. And you give me bread. All these other things around me, I'm trying to get bread out of them. But I'm paying for something that doesn't satisfy the thirst. I'm praying for something. I'm trying to get something on my own. I'm hoping for something to feed me that doesn't have the nourishment. It doesn't have the ability to quench my thirst. But you do. See, even our prayers can go astray when we're focused on getting the thing instead of remembering who has the abundance of heaven, who has the key to the storerooms of heaven, to open heaven and to give us those things and to grant us those things. Even praying for give us this day our daily bread, it's you give us. If the focus is on Jesus, it's not on, I need my daily bread. I need my daily bread. I hope for my daily bread. I want my daily. See, the focus is on me and on my need. Now, those things, that happens. I'm not saying it's wrong or evil to feel our needs and to recognize what we need. I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm just saying it's futile. If the focus is just on the need, if the focus is just on what I've got to get, it's the focus of all of Jesus' prayer. You give us our daily bread. And our daily bread is everything in us that Paul is declaring will be found in the Lord and what he's already done in Ephesians chapter 1. Having predestined us to sonship through Jesus Christ to himself according to the pleasure of his will, he predestined us to be what? Sons, daughters of the living God, according to the good pleasure of his will. Let your will be done on earth as in heaven. To the praise of the glory of his grace, in which he bestowed favor upon us in what? In the beloved one, in Christ. It's all of these things. The apostolic prayer brings this great flow of God's cosmic purposes, our needs being met, our going to heaven, and keeps bringing it back to, and where does all of this take place? In him, in the Messiah, in the one who God has declared his beloved one, in Jesus. In him, we have the redemption through his blood. You need redemption? It's in him. It's in heaven, and to be in him is to be in heaven. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our transgressions according to the riches of his grace. Forgive us our debts. Forgive us our debts as we forgive those who we have forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. We forgive those that owe things to us, just as you forgive us. Now, he doesn't get into forgiving the debts at this point, but he will in chapter 5. It's interesting, the last couple aspects of the prayer, the Lord's Prayer, he waits till chapter 5 and chapter 6. In chapter 5, he gets in the whole issue of love and forgiveness and forgiving others as we've been forgiven. And of course, the prayer ends with, and lead us not into the test. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And we know Ephesians 6 is the famous passage on dealing with rulers and the rulers of darkness in heavenly places, the cosmic rulers of darkness in heavenly places. And he tells us how the Lord's not going to lead us into a test or a trial where the enemy has authority over us. He's going to deliver us. And here's all the armament of our warfare that we need. According to his grace, which he made superabound toward us in all wisdom and insight, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. Help us to do your will on earth as it is in heaven, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in him, in Jesus. Jesus is the focus of all apostolic prayer. And he purposed these things in Christ and in himself for the stewardship of the fullness of times, to bring together all things in Christ. This is his kingdom purposes being fulfilled, and his kingdom purposes are being fulfilled when we keep our focus on what God has done through Jesus. He says that is the things in heaven and the things on earth. There's that heaven and earth. Again, in him, in Christ, in him, we were also appointed to receive an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of the one who works all things according to the counsel of his will, in order that we should be to the praise of his glory, we who were the first to hope in Christ. In him also you, when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in him when you believed, you were sealed with the Spirit of promise, the Holy Spirit, who is the deposit of our inheritance for the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. Amen. It's apostolic prayer. It's focused in Christ, and it's all about God's purposes being fulfilled in us and thanking him for making us part of this. This is what we celebrate when we partake of the Lord's Supper. Father, if I could declare an apostolic blessing over this bread and over this cup, Lord God, I would declare, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, that we have everything we need in Christ. Lord, increase our faith. Yes. Lord, increase our vision, yes. Lord. let us be obsessed. I mean, we're obsessed by all kinds of things, and we ask forgiveness for being obsessed with things, Lord God, being obsessed with our own needs, Lord God. We ask that forgiveness because we ask forgiveness as we partake of the Lord's Supper, Lord. But let us be obsessed with you, Lord. Let us be obsessed with your purposes, Father. Let us see how everything revolves around being in Christ. And so, Father, I pray as we partake of the Lord's Supper. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us tomorrow's bread today. And this is tomorrow's bread, and you're giving it today because it guarantees just a full, complete, eternal dwelling in your eternal city, Lord God, as the bride of Christ. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, Lord. Lord, we receive your forgiveness and we extend your forgiveness. Lead us not into temptation. Lead us not into an ultimate test, O God, that we in our own weakness and frailties might fail. But instead of doing that, deliver us from the evil one. Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And with that, we partake, Lord.
Good morning, church.
Good morning, everyone.
I'm Teresa, if you're new here. Pastor Janine, we're going to kind of tag team today for a little while. You know, we pray together on Fridays, and some of us that pray together on Fridays, the intercessor group, have been praying together for like 30 years probably. Yeah. So, you know, we learned a few things along the way. And we just wanted to share that with you. You know, Pastor's been talking about apostolic and prophetic prayer. And it can seem kind of unusual if you're not used to it. There's times where it almost seems like it's hard. And it's really not. It's just kind of laying yourself aside. And like Pastor said, you're putting yourself in Christ. And, you know, we always start with praise. And, you know, Pastor stole, last time I spoke, I said he stuck in my house and read my notes and stole my word. And he did it again.
Yes, he did.
Because we were discussing what scripture we were going to use today to pray apostolically. And, you know, a lot of what he said, you might hear again. But usually when God says something more than once, he wants you to make sure you get it. So, you know, he knows we're a little slow sometimes. And he knows we forget. I forget all kinds of stuff now. But we start with praise. And the reason for that is because it puts you in the place that you're not God and he is. You know, the Lord's Prayer. You know, Pastor alluded to that. You know, Lord, you're great. You know, it kind of removes yourself from the greatness. And one thing about lists, I think, is, see, when you're praying apostolically and prophetically, you're kind of coming to the table empty. And, you know, there's sometimes when we pray on Fridays, we're quiet for like 20 minutes after the praise because we're waiting to hear what God wants us to do, where he wants us to go. And when you come with a list, not that a list is bad, it's been made very clear because we all have lists of things that we bring before the Lord. All of us do. And if you don't, I hope you start doing it. But, you know, it's when you come without that list, you're saying, God, you tell me. You show me the path you want me to go on. And he does, always. And, you know, sometimes we'll pray, and you know, everybody's different. You know, let me know if you want to jump in.
No, go
okay.
ahead. I will.
Okay. But, you know, we all pray differently. I mean, Mary, when she first started praying with us, we were like, wow. Because she smells things. She would see things, and we're like, I don't know what she's talking about. But, you know, as you get to know each other, and as you're praying together, the Lord brings things together that seem like they don't go together. And it's amazing. It just happened to us on Friday.
Yeah, it was powerful.
And it was so powerful. But one person shares, and then somebody else shares something that what the Lord showed them, and you're like, I don't get where this goes together, and you sit quietly for a minute, and the Lord shows you how it all blends and it all builds. One thing on another, and it's this great thing that you could not have asked or imagined. The Lord shows you, and you're praying, and there's so much power in that prayer when you're praying like that. And it's just not the same with the list, because it's your needs, like was already said. It's your path. You're coming with the list, and you're going, okay, God, this is what we're doing right here. And when you're praying apostolically and prophetically, sometimes...
Stand the mic.
Oh, sorry. Sometimes you come with nothing. And what a good place to start before God. With nothing. Lord, we're needy. And you have everything we need.
Yes.
So that's where I want to make sure I shared that part. You know, it can be uncomfortable, too, when you're sitting there waiting. You know, sometimes when I'm at home by myself, I'll just sit there. And I'll go, Lord, I got nothing. And you know, it really does put you in that circle, which is Christ. Because you know when you're not there. And I know, because you struggle. You wrestle, and you just know when you're not in Christ. And when you just sit quietly and humbly before God and go, you tell me. And he does. And he's faithful. Because like Pastor said, he wants those things that burden our heart to work out more than we do. But it can be uncomfortable, so you got to kind of ride it out. It's uncomfortable sometimes on Friday, especially if you're a doer. You know, like I'm a doer. I don't sit much. I don't sit well, I should say. So it's a little bit more of a stretch for me to just sit and wait. But another thing that I think is important, and Janine alluded to this last week when she shared, is you follow the leader. So who's your leader? You know, like Pastor Oz set the tone for all of this a few weeks ago, and we follow that lead. So when we're praying, for instance, you stay on topic, and think of it as a conversation, you know, apostolically and prophetically. If we're talking, let's say just in a conversation, and we're talking about baking, you know, Janine might mention mixers. The mixer she likes. I might mention, you know, you have to have good quality chocolate. You know, I mean, people are commenting on baking. Now, if somebody chimes in and says, yeah, the price of gas lately, aren't you going to go, what?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, there's a flow in the spirit. It's a conversation you're having as a group, apostolically and prophetically, and you need to hear from the Lord and stay on topic, not talk about gas when you're talking about baking, you know? So that's just some simple things that we're going to kind of demonstrate in a few minutes when Janine's done. But that's really all I have to say, whatever you want to add to it.
Yeah, thanks. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to those that are visiting, those that are online. I want to just welcome you in the name of Jesus. Well, it's interesting because Teresa and I have been partners for a long time in prayer. And when we were talking about today, we both said, I think we should pray apostolically into the Lord's Prayer. I know that was already in our spirit because of Pastor Oz mentioning that, but we kind of took that up, and we both came into agreement without speaking to one another. And that's really, really exciting about prayer.
Amen.
It's so exciting. And just this past week, there has been such a visitation, a felt manifest visitation of the Spirit of God in every meeting that I've been in, whether it's, you know, on Thursday night prayer. It was powerful. It was a level up, man, wasn't it? And then Wednesday at the Why Jesus class, it was, oh my gosh, every one of us went away going, wow, God, that was incredible. And what is so incredible is that we do it together. And I think this has been really stressed with Pastor Oz as well. When we are talking about the Our Father, Jesus was saying, like, pray along these lines, okay? Pray along these lines. And so he starts with Our. And Our Father is different than when we do the list prayer. Mm-hmm. You know, when we do the list prayer, it's personal. It's that's Abba Father, okay? That's good. Intimate in it, and it's you and God, okay? But when we are praying into the Our Father, there's a different term for it, and it's called Abinu, A-B-I-N-U, I believe it is. And what that means is that Jesus is saying along these lines, pray, all who believe in him are family, okay? That we together are part of one another's life. That's why apostolic and prophetic prayer is so powerful, because we know the math of the Spirit. One puts 1,000 to flight, 2, 10,000. And when we have this many people together, we are accomplishing and influencing things in the spirit realm that are way, way grander and way more beyond what we do in our personal time. And we need both. We need both. So I just want to say that, you know, corporately, what this means is that as a community, we are doing something that's way grander than we ourselves do ourselves by ourselves. I hope that makes sense. That's a real tongue twister. And that also, let me look at this real quick. When the early church prayed the Our Father together and had communion, right? It was forbidden for those that were not believers to pray that prayer. So this is something that is designated and gifted to us corporately as his people. That is a privilege and an honor to be a part of, okay? It was reserved for believers only. And when we are saying Our Father, we are talking about that we are a family, that we are a valuable part of a family, each and every person. Now, every person doesn't have the same role. I can't pray like Pastor Oz, and I can't pray like Mary either. But together, when we start feeding into what the Spirit is doing, this grand mosaic, this huge thing in God is accomplished. And it's also history making. You know, we say it oftentimes that history belongs to intercessors. History can be changed by our prayer. And that, my friends, is incredible. That's incredible that you can define what happens right now in Peru. Mm-hmm. That you can walk the jungle of Peru in your prayers as we pray. That you can walk this city, this nation, and influence its outcome. And the consequences of our prayer is that it's historically changing things. That is a man, that is a high, high calling. And to sit and not cooperate, you are so being robbed and cheated. And there's only one who doesn't want you doing it, and you know who that one is, the devil. He hates prayer, and he hates plural prayer, community prayer. So this whole term, our, is plural. It's community. It's family. It's inclusive and not exclusive. It is for the body of Christ that is, you know, connected to the head, and that's where we get our direction from. So we know our God, our Father, is in heaven. That's where he is. It was spoken of today in the message, and it was powerful. What a great, great word, worthy of repeating, listening to many times. So when we're praying, we're acknowledging how great God is, and that we are saying beyond the limits that we see, we are seeing something in the kingdom and in the kingdom for his purposes to be established. And that is what we are a part of on earth as it is in heaven. We are going to model something today where it's going to be modeled after what we see in the spirit in heaven, and we are going to see things happen. The God who sees is going to make things happen,
yes.
Right?
Amen.
He's going to make things happen. So we're going to get in alignment with that. Okay, I'm almost done, but I want to say this. This is how it works. Today, when we came in, we had a list. The worship team had a list of songs we were going to do, okay? We had a plan. We had a list. But guess what? God had something different in mind.
Right.
And if we wanted to stay within the list, we would have been very shortchanged of what the Holy Spirit did in our midst. That was prophetic worship. Allie was following the Spirit. All the things that were in and out between were all spontaneous. You know, and if you're in Christ, you can be spontaneous and follow the Spirit of God. If you're self-conscious, if you think you have nothing to contribute, you're not looking in the right place, as Pastor said this morning. He's the focus. So as we begin, I want you to keep these things in mind. And you know what? We got to here. I mean, we got here by practice. So you can't do anything wrong, okay? Amen. If you say something that isn't quite, you know, in league with what, or in alignment with what, you know, you think God is saying, really, be free. It's no big deal. We all mess up. In fact, when we started, and what we still do on occasion, is we take inventory of what happened. And we'll say, you know what, Teresa, I think I said that, and I think it was really not the Spirit. I think it was off the wall. And I, not that it was bad, but it originated in my feelings and my thoughts, right? And we're to take in prayer every thought captive and allow the Holy Spirit to give us His thoughts. And what are His thoughts? Pastor said it this morning. His thoughts are the Word of God, the Scripture. We already have a model right there. So with that, I'm going to be quiet. Do you want to say anything else?
You know, when I first started prophetic and apostolic prayer, that was my safeguard, because I had no clue. I mean, really, felt like I had no clue what was going on. And I learned in a group of people that, you know, were way beyond where I was. So my safeguard was using Scripture. And, you know, it got me so that I became more comfortable, because I would hear a word like rock and go, well, what the heck am I supposed to do with rock? You know, but once again, it, as you grow, it'll develop and you'll see something more than just rock. But, you know, mention it. If you're praying in a group with people and you see rock, say, I don't know if this fits or whatever, but, you know, I just, the Lord showed me a rock, I think. And then, you know, somebody else will go, oh, wow, I got a whole picture of that little thing that you think might be nothing really could be something that really does. It's that small little puzzle piece that's unique to that puzzle.
I just want to say, as an example, if you say rock, everybody's got a thought that kind of goes with that, if you think about it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if we were praying together, I would say, he's my rock. He's my shelter. And somebody else would say something else. And see what I mean? How it develops something so powerful. So I just want to...
Yeah, and I got something to add to that as she was talking. Okay, see, my mind went to Moses during the battle when he needed to, you know, his arms were being upheld. You know, and if his arms went down, the battle, they started losing. And so they sat him on a rock. The rock was Christ. He sat on the solid rock foundation of Christ as they held up his hands. And see how that built from just one thing, and
yeah, and two, you could go a lot of different places with that if you have a group of people, right?
Yeah.
You could go into, you know, the fact that the rock provided water for those that were in the wilderness. See what I'm saying? You're seeing this whole tapestry, this whole picture, this whole puzzle coming into view.
Amen. Yeah,
okay.
Amen. Yeah. Anything else?
Mm-mm.
No. Okay. So if the intercessors can come up, the ones who are here, I know some of them aren't here or had to step out. Okay. So like I said, Pastor stole some of our notes. I should say this was Janine and I both agreeing to this scripture from, so we're going to go to Matthew, and the ladies know, 6. So I'll start.
Yeah, just read the whole.
Okay. So I'm not going to read all of it, but I'm going to start in 9. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Lord God, we just acknowledge, Lord God, your greatness and your holiness, Lord God. We thank you that there is none on earth that can compare with you, Lord. We thank you that you have the world in your hands, Lord God, and that you are on the throne, Lord. Lord, we're just praise you and worship you, Lord God, because there is none like you, none compare to you, God. You are the only wise God. We thank you, the Lamb on the throne. Great and glorious are you, God. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, we worship you, Lord. We place you in the center, Lord. And the Lord just would just remind everyone here that if you open up your mouth, he will fill it. He is in you, and he will fill your mouth as we begin to pray. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. So we are going to pray into, as a team, the Lord's Prayer. Thank you, God, that you're our Father, and that I'm not an orphan and I'm not alone in this kingdom work. Thank you, Jesus, so much. We are so grateful today that we are part of your family. Lord, we're part of your family, Lord God. And so, Lord, just thank you so much for the adoption of the Father. Amen.
Thank you.
Lord, you are our Father. You're a Father to many, Almighty God. You're a Father that your sheep go to for compassion and justice, Almighty God. And as our pastors were speaking, before this prayer, I saw musical notes coming in as water splashing on a rock that we sat on. Father God, we ask, go deep in our hearts. Get the residue that we left in, Almighty God. Cleanse us and purify us that you would be pleased, Almighty God. Increase the worship and thanksgiving. And Lord, forgive us for making a whole big list. I need. We need you, Lord God. We're desperate for you, Lord. We ask, come, Lord Jesus, and stay, Lord. Yeah. Amen.
Yeah. I just want to speak into that real quick before we continue in prayer. And just note, too, that as we mentioned earlier, everyone has a vital part. And what Mary spoke about was a symphony. And we know who it is that wrote it, right? But you may be a trumpet. You may be a violin. You may be a bass that is a supporter and underneath other instruments. You may be all kind of instrument. You may be the keyboards. You may be the organ or whatever. But again, I just want to encourage you that we are all a part of something here together. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, Mary was talking about notes. Now, this sounds a little strange, but I heard the song go through my head, Father Abraham, that we used to teach the kids, you know, and Lord, that reminds me, Lord God, that you were Father Abraham. You were the father to Abraham, Lord God, and he followed you wherever you called him to go, Lord God. You called him out and you called him to sacrifice. You made calls on his life, Lord God. And I pray, Lord God, that your people would be willing, that we would be willing to lay down our lives, Lord God. We would be willing to listen for your call, Lord God. And when you say, come and leave your town and go where I call you to go, Lord God, we'd be willing to go, Lord God. And we would hear your voice saying, this is not right in your life. You need to sacrifice that. And that we would take it to the altar of sacrifice, and we would lay it down, Lord God. Anything that would come between you and us, Lord God. And Lord, I pray, Lord God, for your family, that for your church, Lord God, that we would follow your voice, Lord God, wherever you would call, that we would declare, Father God,
Father God, we follow you. Father God, we do what you say to do, and we say what you say, tell us to say, Lord God, in all things, Lord God, that you would be glorified, Lord God. You would be magnified, Lord God, that the whole earth would know that you are Lord in Jesus Christ. Amen.
Do you want to go next?
Hallelujah.
No, take
Joseph. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. And Lord, you're going back to the Lord's Prayer. It says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, Lord God. And I got a little side note in my Bible. It says, let your promise be now, Lord God. And Lord, you have promised, Lord God, things that you will do on this earth, Lord God. You have promised things that you would do in this church, Lord. You have promised things that you will do in this community, Lord God. So we do cry out to you, Lord God, that your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven, Lord God. We ask that you would expedite, Lord God, the outpouring of your spirit here at the corner of 8 and Shaner, Lord God. We ask that your promise, Lord God, would be now, Lord, that we would see it in our day and in our time, Lord God, that you would answer, Lord God, because you are God and you are Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Joyce, you ready?
You ready? Hallelujah.
I'm doing it.
Father, we thank you, Lord, for the notes that Mary was speaking of, because even though those notes can be a symphony, they can also be notes that we take, Father, to understand you and your will. Notes in the spirit, Father God, that we understand the things of God. Lord, you are able to open our eyes. You are able to teach us, Father God. You are able to heal us, Father God. So the notes that we take, let those notes be by faith, Father God. We come, Father. We listen, Father God. We hear the word of God, not once, but twice. Faith comes by hearing, not having heard. So, Father, let us be filled with the Spirit of the living God, a Father that says, sit here at my feet and I will teach you. A Father that says, I got you, my daughter, my son. A Father that says, I have an open door for you. A Father that says, I have closed that door right there, daughter, but come, trust that I have another open door. A Father that says, I love you right where you are. A Father that says, come, let me change you. A Father that says, you have tried it. You have tried it over and over. But let down your guard, my daughter, my son, and let me heal you. Let me deliver you. Let me make you what I want you to be. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.
Okay, I just want to mention, too, that when Joyce was talking about notes, my spirit kind of took a turn, and I started thinking about taking notes in a book, you know, when you start writing things down. And we know that God, you've given us notes. You've given us a love letter, Lord. You've given us a plan, Lord. You've given us a model, Lord God, after heaven. So Father, as each person is here today, we pray, Lord God, that you would download what you want them to know, what you want them to pray. And as Teresa and I prayed earlier, one of the notes that we had was that we are going to pray for a revival in under the guise of the Our Father.
Yep. Amen. Amen. Yes, Lord. And Lord God, to prepare our hearts. What happened? Oh, Lord God, just to prepare our hearts.
Oh, keep it.
Better? Okay. Lord, it says, Lord, forgive us our debts as we forgive those who owe us debts, Lord God. And so, Lord, we start, Lord God, awaiting your presence in revival, Lord God, by repentance. Lord God, forgive me, Lord God, for those that I need to forgive and haven't, Lord God. And I ask that you would help me. Lord, help me to forgive, Lord God. Help me to not be bitter, Lord God. And Lord, your word says that a root of bitterness can spring up and defile many if we do not forgive, Lord. And Lord, I know you give us time. Lord, I know that you're patient with us and that you know our weakness. But Lord, help us to forgive, Lord. And Lord God, I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would prepare us for your revival, Lord God, in the area of repentance, Lord God. Pour out a gift, Lord God, a gift generously, Lord God, for repentance for this house, Lord God, in Jesus' name.
So I go back to basics because that's how God's created me.
simple. Bread. Think about bread. It's the very basic essence of life in every culture. Every culture has bread. And we call to the Father to give us the very sustenance that we need to live. So as we pray for revival, Lord, send all those who hunger and thirst, that, Lord, we have the bread. It is your word. It's the very essence of our life is your word. So, Lord, send the hungry, send the thirsty, Lord, to 8 Mile and Shaner. Let the revival be birthed by hungry, hungry, thirsty people, that we might give them sustenance as you have given us ours daily, in Jesus' name.
And if you have nothing specific in your heart, you can pray the prayer of agreement and just be agreeing in the spirit. Do you have something, Ken?
I think nothing pleases God more than when we pray his word back to him. And when Teresa was talking about repentance, I thought about this word in Joel. It says, "Now therefore, says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. So rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow in anger and of great kindness. And he relents from doing harm. Who knows if he will turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him, a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God." Lord, we do. We rend our hearts,
yeah,
and not our garments, Lord God. We rend those things that are within us, Lord God, not what shows on the outside, Lord God. And we ask for forgiveness, Lord God, that you would turn and that you would turn and leave a blessing for this neighborhood, for our city, Lord God, for our state even, Lord God. And we can even go on to the country and into the world, Lord God. Leave a blessing behind, Lord God.
Yeah.
A grain offering and a drink offering that Pastor Philip was talking about. The bread and the wine that you would feed and that you would satisfy those that hunger and thirst for righteousness, Lord God. We just thank you, Lord God, for your kindness,
yes,
that leads us to repentance, Lord God. And you are so gracious.
Amen.
So gracious. We bless your name and we thank you. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Lord, we want to read your word, agree together, and put in motion, Lord, your very heart in the midst of this place. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 2. O Lord, I have heard your speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, in judgment, remember mercy. Lord, we ask that you would do it again in our nation, in the world, that multitudes and multitudes would come to Jesus Christ and be fully converted and discipled. We acknowledge, Lord, that judgment begins in the house of God. And Lord, you delegate that out so that we would be open to your mercy. We thank you that mercy does triumph over judgment, Lord God. And Lord, that you give us an opportunity to make the adjustments necessary. Lord, do it again. Revive your work, your kingdom work, in this day and in this time of our nation, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
Amen. And Lord, today we do ask
for your daily bread, Lord God. And today, our daily bread is to learn more of you, to go deeper in you, Lord God. Our daily bread, we come humbly asking for it, Lord, knowing you'll give it to us. We don't have to beg, Lord God. And we pray that the bread you give us today will be your word back to you, Lord God. The bread you give us today will feed not only us, but all those who surround us in our lives, Lord God. As we go out the doors, Lord, we just ask for mercy, for grace, Lord, for articulation, Lord. And we ask that as you bring revival, Lord, it's not the revival of old, Lord God. It's not the revival of ancient times. It's the revival of today and the language of today, Lord God, that you would not only revive all those who need to hear your word, but you would revive us, Lord God. Bring us into this time, Lord God. Bring us into this moment, Lord God, to give us what we need. This is our daily bread, Lord. It's the bread for today and for tomorrow, Lord God. So we need to have the language of today and the language of tomorrow, Lord God, and let that come forth in love and grace and mercy and kindness and gentleness and faithfulness, Lord God. All of the fruit of the Spirit, Lord God, in Jesus' name.
It is the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. It is His goodness that doesn't punish us or cast us out, but He gives us time to repent, time to understand what we have done and understand what He is doing. It is the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. And this has been on my heart for a long, long time. When the prodigal came home, he expected the worst. But the father had the best in mind. So those prodigals that are outside the kingdom, we speak grace and mercy from the throne of God, from heaven, that you are welcome in this kingdom because it is the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. It is the goodness of God that leads us to a change of mind. In Jesus' name, do it. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, the other thing that came to mind when Pastor John was praying that was the scripture that you don't treat us as our sins deserve, Lord God. And that, Lord, the other scripture that he who is forgiven much loves much, Lord God. So we do cry out, Lord God, that you would send those, Lord God, who need to be forgiven for much, Lord God, that will love much, Lord God, that will do much for your kingdom, Lord God, because you have poured out your goodness to them, Lord God, and you have not treated any of us, Lord God, as our sins deserve, Lord, and we thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name.
And dear Lord, your word says your ways are not our ways. And so often, Lord, we resort to our own thinking, our own desires to solve problems. Lord, let us step into that circle in you. May we think like you and see like you, Lord. May the whole church begin to walk in your ways, not in our ways, dear God. Your thoughts are so different than our thoughts. Lord, they're so high above our selfish needs, Lord. Help us, dear God, to move in your circle, dear God, to want what you want, to desire what you want. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
Lord, and you say, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Lord, you said to the church in Philadelphia, because you have kept my word and you have not denied my name, I will keep you from the hour of testing that is about to come upon this earth, this habitable earth. And Lord, you meant that was about to come on the Roman Empire. They were part of that empire, Lord. And Father, we are part of a nation, Lord God. And Father God, you need to intervene, Lord God, in our lives, Lord. You said because we have kept your word and we have not denied your name, you will keep us from the test. The test, Lord God, the test that says, Lord, deliver us from the purposes and the plans of the evil one, Lord God. And Father, we thank you for this nation that we are part of, Lord God, but this nation has influenced how we think as believers too much, Lord God. We have compromised, Lord. We have compromised worldly human values and human cultures, and we have compromised by letting that have the final say in our lives instead of your word. So I ask, Lord God, that you would spare us from the trial that is coming, Lord God. Lord, the way your kingdom works is we learn from obedience or we learn from consequences, Lord. And an hour of consequences is coming, Lord, to this nation and the nations of the earth, Lord. And I ask for your people. I ask for your church. Lead us not into that test, Lord God, the test in which the evil one seeks to triumph, Lord God, but deliver us from the evil one, Lord God. Make us, Lord, faithful to your word. Let your word have the final say in our lives, Lord, not culture, Lord God. Let your word have the final say, and may we not deny your name. Your name is Father. Your name represents your character, your heart, your desire, and your purposes, Lord. And we do not deny your name when we are faithful to your kingdom purposes first, Lord. Lord, we see it in this church, in our own individual lives. We are being tested. Are we going to choose Jesus? Or are we going to choose Barabbas, Lord? And Barabbas is doing it the world's way, Lord God, instead of doing it your way. And we have to do it your way, Lord God. So I pray for the grace of the Lord. I pray for your grace, that graciousness, that superabounding grace, because while we fear you and we recognize the potential for consequences for disobeying you, Lord, your word has said where sin abounds, grace superabounds. We ask for your superabounding grace in all our circumstances, in all our situations, Lord, in our relationships, Lord God. We ask for it, Lord, in our nation, Lord God. We ask for it in the church. And we ask for these things, Father, in Jesus' mighty and precious name, Lord God. And we don't want to forget that one other aspect of the prayer. I think what keeps us on the straight and narrow is we learn to forgive others as we have been forgiven. We learn to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and strength. We need to love our neighbor as ourselves, but we have to love our enemies, Father, as well. When we stay on that straight and narrow, Father, that forgiveness can make our enemies and your enemies, Lord, our friends and your friends, Father. In Jesus' name we pray it, Lord.
When Pastor mentioned choose Jesus or choose Barabbas, choosing Jesus leads to the cross. We have to recognize that our life, and it's been made known plentiful in scriptures by the Apostle Paul about suffering is a part of discipleship. Choosing Jesus chooses the cross. The very things that the Lord wants to liberate us of, our own ways, our own thinking, they have to be taken to the cross. So, Father, forgive us for choosing Barabbas, choosing the easier way out, Lord God. But, Lord, as we choose you and we choose a more difficult way, keep us, as Pastor prayed, keep us in that day of testing, because the day is coming. And Lord, we know we're not going to be spared as we have not been thus far of suffering, of being called to endurance and perseverance. So Lord, keep us
that day, Lord God, and bring us through that time of trial, Lord God, as you crucify the very things that hold us back from your heavenly presence, Father. I ask this in the powerful name of your Son, Jesus. We choose Jesus. Amen.
Now, we weren't praying, just the leaders were just praying together because we prayed this way for 26 years. We're just demonstrating it. We're not saying no one else can pray. So I want to open it up if anybody else has something that they want to pray. Just raise your hand and pray. Pray into this.
Yes.
Anyone? Anyone? Okay, you know what happens when nobody volunteers, then pastor picks. Stop. Let's pray.
Well, the things that stuck out to me was when I think it was Louise was talking about the grain offering and the drink offering. It just reminded me of communion, the bread and the wine, Lord, and Lord, I just pray that that your communion would just cause us to be in. You know, I was just looking it up too, Lord, just to. The Greek word was koinonia, but the Lord, it meant fellowship. It meant togetherness, Lord. It meant about being a part of each other, Lord. That Lord, I was just talking about it with Mark Palladino, Lord, about, you know, just feeling like disconnected a lot, you know, Lord. And just, Lord, even though that we're here together, Lord, sometimes it's hard to reach out. It feels like it's just a separation, Lord. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, that you just bring us together, Lord, as your body, as the body of Christ, that would just cause us to be one body, Lord, that the limbs and the eyes and the ears and the mouth and everything works together, Lord, as it should be, Father. In the name of Jesus, I pray it, Lord. Amen.
Anyone else? I can't let Allison sneak out of here, so I want to do this.
Well, as they were praying, Miss Louise shared that scripture that says, "We rend not our garments, but we rend our hearts." And I was just thinking about how it can be so easy to do things for visibility. It can be so easy to do things to be seen, and that goes against God's heart. And I just, this church, we don't do anything to be seen here. And I'm so grateful to have grown up in a church where we rend not our garments, but we rend our hearts. The ministries, the things that we do here, the ways that we serve, our intention is never to be seen. Our intention is never to put on a show. And Lord, I thank you that you've made that the heart of this church, Lord, that we don't have a desire to look good for other people, to look good for the world, Lord, but we have a desire to serve you. We have a desire to see your love displayed so powerfully in this community, Lord. And as we've prayed continuously throughout this, God, we just are asking for such a powerful move of your spirit at Aiton Shaner, Lord. You've been doing it. It's been building. It's been growing. And Lord, we're just looking for it to overflow now, Lord. Just let it come to a boiling point and just overflow this community with your love, with your purpose, with your spirit, Lord. Just let your spirit inhabit this place, this church, Lord, and the people of this community. We thank you for it, God.
Real quick, I just want to mention that, you know, the devil every once in a while gets in your head, right? And it's been like such a powerful week in the spirit for me. I mean, it's just been just escalated beyond. And when I came in this morning, you know, somebody said something, shared something with me, and I heard about, you know, Leslie passing away, and then I heard a report about somebody else that was ill, and I was so struck by the enemy's thoughts, like just like a flaming arrow, you know, that because of my history, that today the devil was in my head saying, you know, you have lung cancer. And it just like really threw me for a loop. But I just want to address the fact that you may be hearing things that are not from God as we're praying. You may be hearing you're not worthy. You may be hearing that you don't have anything to contribute. You may be hearing words of fear or inadequacy or whatever. But know that that's, you know where it's coming from. And you have to resist those things and just move on.
That's powerful, because that's a dimension of prayer that we don't often think. You know, Paul said to the Corinthians, he said, if you seek, in the you know, some of our modern translations, they translate what's actually there in the text out of the text because they don't like what it implies. But he says, if it says in Corinthians, if you seek after spiritual things, then seek after the things that edify you, brothers and sisters. That's not what it says in the Greek. It says, if you seek after spirits. See, when we open ourselves up to hear the Lord, and that's what we're doing, we're seeking spirits. We're seeking the Holy Spirit. We're seeking the Spirit of the Father. We're seeking the Spirit of the Son. We're seeking spirits. But there are other spirits out there that they do not speak for the Lord. And see, there are voices. We all hear voices. If you're a Christian and you've been filled with the Holy Spirit and you're open to hearing God, to listening to God, you're opening yourself up to all kinds of voices. And see, we have to learn to reject the voices that are not the voice of our Father. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and the voice of a stranger they'll not listen to. But you know, a lot of people don't understand that, and they start hearing things, and they listen to those voices. You know, there's this incredible explosion of mental illness. You know what mental illness is? It's listening to the wrong voices. I have counseled people who for years are tormented, who for years are oppressed, who for years walk in depression. And all it is they're listening to wrong voices. It's like, to reject that voice. I've been working with this one young man for so many years, decades, trying to tell him that the things, you know, he'll be okay, he'll be fine. He's a Christian, he'll be okay, he'll be fine. And then he's depressed, and then he's going to die, and then he's frustrated. And I just keep telling him, that's not Jesus. Stop listening to those voices. It has taken him decades. You know what he's doing right now? He's stopping to listen to those voices. See, and we have to understand that. And here's the thing that the devil does. The devil will speak in a voice, and he'll put a face on that voice. And it'll be the face of your husband. It'll be the face of your wife. It'll be the face of your parents. It'll be the face of your pastors. It'll be the face of people who love you. And the enemy will speak with their face on it, and then you end up getting in a fight with that person. We don't war against flesh and blood. Our war is not against flesh and blood. The source of those voices, that's not my parents speaking to me. Oh, my parents said dumb things to me when I was growing up, just as I, as a parent, have said dumb, stupid things to my kids. And of course, I tell with my kids, I try to keep short accounts and remind them, forgive me for the dumb things I did. But our war is against powers and principalities. And the devil wants to create division in families, division in churches. But that's the devil. And we've got to stop listening to those voices and recognize the voice of our Father. See, that's all of this stuff is what opens up when you start dealing with apostolic prayer. Paul had to recognize when the Father was speaking, the Son was speaking, and the Spirit was speaking, and when some other voice was speaking. And we need to learn that was a good point. That was, and you know, that was related because we're praying the Lord's Prayer. That's deliver us from the evil one. That's he right. delivers us from the evil one, from those voices that are false. And those, and remember, what is his name? Well, he's got a lot of names, but he's the accuser. And those voices that accuse us with the face of other people, we got to say, I don't say, get behind me, voice of my wife, in the name of Jesus. I say, get behind me, Satan, in the name of Jesus. I'm not going to listen to that. I'm not going to believe that's what my wife thinks and feels. And see, he's an accuser, and he uses that to divide us from each other. And that, see, then that actually flows into Scott's prayer. We feel disconnected. Why do we feel disconnected? Our Father's not disconnecting us. The Holy Spirit's not disconnecting us. Jesus isn't disconnecting us. But that's a thing we have to realize that we're dealing with in this world, is we are dealing with voices that are not of the Lord. And that's another reason why we need each other. We need to go to each other and say, this is what I keep hearing. This is what it torments me. This is what depresses me. And we need to ask each other, is this the Lord speaking to me? See, that's why one chases 1,000 and two chases 10,000. By yourself, you might get rid of 1,000 voices, but what if you got 1,001 against you? Well, you need to hear one of your brothers and sisters say, that's not of God. That's not of God. Well, we're leading in all kind of other teachings here, but you see, this is how it works. This is how I think. Again, I'm watching how this is going. I think what we're going to do is we're going to do some teaching on Sundays, and then we're going to do this again. We're going to have apostolic prayer, and we'll start having more and more people participate. We've done this. My example is Master Builders. When we come to a Master Builders National Conference, which we haven't had in a long time, COVID set a lot of things back. We haven't met together. We met one time maybe in the last 5 or 6 years, but we'd be in a room with 50 people. These are from all kinds of different states. They're from different nations. 50 of us get in a room. And what we just illustrated with about 5 or 10 people, you do it with 50 people. My gosh, you start understanding. The room was shaking when the Spirit descended in Acts. Well, it can shake too when people start getting together and praying like that. All right, amen. We are going to leave, but I'm going to have Antonio pray us out because he's the guy who prays us out. But what? Absolutely. And then give it to Antonio. And Antonio, you pray us out, brother.
Okay. Our Father. Yes, you are our Father. It's like music to my ears, my Lord, because we are a manifestation of you, my God. If it wasn't for you, we are your sheep. You take care of us. You watch over us, our Father. Then, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Forgiveness, Lord. Yes, you have the ultimate forgiveness. You forgave us when we nailed your son to the cross, my Lord. We teach us, put it in our spirits, Lord, forgiveness. You give us the ultimate forgiveness for others that trespass against us, and forgive us our daily bread, my Lord. Give us our daily bread. Teach us, my Lord. Teach us your walk, how you want us to walk in your will, your way. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Oh, my Heavenly Father, I thank you for another day. I thank you for another chance in life. One more time to draw closer to you. God, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you for life. I thank you for the works and things that you're doing for me. I thank you for the things that are not for me. But I especially thank you for you being for me. I just ask God that you awaken our sleeping spirits, that you give us a word that would ignite that flame that's in us, that we can be that beacon of light, that beacon of hope, to reach out to ourselves, to lost ones, and to just gravitate to you, God. I thank you for you just being you, God. That no matter what we think or say, your will be done. And we have to, well, I believe that we have to start speaking things into existence. And speak of it as it is and now. Because in your time, God, your time is the present. It's not tomorrow, it's not yesterday, but it's the now. And that's where we need to be. We're in the house of God. We need to be now with our fellow saints in the spirit, worshiping and gathering ourselves together. And that we should just run to one another, hold each other, that we should reach out to you, God, in the midst of our hours when we feel we don't know what to do or what to say. You will be there. All we have to do is just turn ourselves to you and just acknowledge you. Proclaim that you are the true living God, not just a fable and not a make-believe book, but the truth is in the scriptures. And the scriptures are the very instructions of how we ought to be and act. And the main commandment that I believe that's in there is that we need to love. And God loved us regardless of what we did or said or where we've been at. God was always there. God loved us then, and he loves us now. And I just ask God in the name of Jesus to pour out provision and prosperity for Lord our Harvest, for the ministry of the church, for the gathering of the lost souls out here, Lord, that this church can be like a big old Salvation Army, that they can come get whatever they want from here. They can come get the substance of the food or clothing. But the real substance is the word. The real clothing is the raiment, the garments of the new clothing that we wear. When you give yourself to God, the dead person stays at the bottom of the water, and new person rises. And we are to walk with a renewed mind because we are new creatures. And I just ask God to continue guiding us, protecting us, and to keep showing us the way. And for us to keep trusting ourselves to trust God, because God's will be done regardless of what we think or say. And I just ask God to just move mightily throughout this area, and that his love reigns all over the world, and that his love takes over the world again. And I just ask all these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
God bless you, brothers and sisters. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.